Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Now that rare opportunity to speak with brand new Nobel Peace Prize winner, Lima Bowie. She shares the prize with two other women for, quote, their nonviolent struggle for the safety of women and for women's rights to full participation in peacebuilding work, in the words of the Nobel Committee. Since helping to end the Second Liberian Civil War in 2003, Bowie has been on a mission to increase the power of women in West Africa during and after the war. Her memoir, Mighty Be Our Powers, How Sisterhood, Prayer, and Sex Changed a Nation at War, chronicles how she organized Muslim and Christian women to come together and protest the war with prayer, fasting, and a sex strike. A documentary about Bowie, Pray the Devil Back to Hell, gives an account of how a group of Liberian women came together to stand up against the bloody civil war. So joining us now is activist, author, and Nobel Peace Prize winner Lima Bowie and the director of the documentary Pray the Devil Back to Hell, Ginny Redica. Welcome both of you to WNYC. Hello.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having us.
And Lima, congratulations on maybe the highest honor on earth, the Nobel Peace Prize. What does it mean to you and your cause?
Well, for me, the Nobel is an acknowledgement that women's roles, women's issues, concerns, and priority has finally gotten the attention and the recognition that it deserves after maybe 100 years of struggle for recognition and appreciation of what we can do to contribute to global peace.
Tell me about that graduate program in peace building. You actually went to school. It's like if you go through this program, you're qualified to win the Nobel Peace Prize?
Well, I had done all of the work that I did in Liberia, and I knew that peace building was where I wanted to spend the rest of my life, and I had some contact with the Center for Justice and Peace Building at the Eastern Mennonite University in Harrisonburg, Virginia, a very tiny place. They put a lot of emphasis on practice and theory, so I went to CJP, as we call it for short, in 2006, after we had done everything and after elections, because I just needed some confirmation that where I had been over the last 7 years was actually something worth the while. And then also the entire discussion around peace building were predominantly men who had the degrees, and I knew that I had a stake in that process. So I went to that school, and it really confirmed that everything we did was actual peace building. You know, we would sit in some classes like strategic peace building, and they would talk about Dr. King's struggle and give an example of some of it as being strategic. And I'll be like, wow, but we did this in Liberia. So we obviously, what we were doing, peace building, real peace building in the sense of the book and the textbooks, before I even came here. So I got a graduate degree in something I love doing.
Yes. And so, Ginny, we can already see why she won the Nobel Peace Prize and why you wanted to make a film about her. What's in the film?
Well, the film is actually the story of how the women from Liberia came together. Lima brought women that were both Muslim and Christian together. They prayed for peace, but they also forced both Charles Taylor and the warring parties, the Lord, to the negotiating table. And they did that by demonstrating. They did it peacefully. They dressed in white. And when peace talks broke down, they actually surrounded the hall and forced and said that they were not going to let the men out of the room until they came up with a comprehensive peace plan, which was amazing. And when the police came to arrest them, they threatened to strip naked in front of the world to bring the world shame, to bring those people shame. And then I think one of the most amazing things is that they also got a hold of that peace plan, and they, for the next 3 years, they continued to demonstrate. They sat on the field. They made sure disarmament happened, and they made sure that the peace treaty actually held.
And we have a clip from the film. This is one of Lima's supporters reflecting on the moment when she confronted Liberian dictator Charles Taylor.
When Lima got on stage to read a statement, we were like holding hands and praying. I said, we say, Jesus gave all the strength. I said, we rebuke any evil force that will make her weak.
We were saying, Jesus, give her the strength. I say we will rebuke any evil force that makes her weak. So there's a Jesus reference in there. You went to a Mennonite university. Is Christianity a big part of yourself or your work?
Christianity is a very big part of my work, a big part of my journey to where I find myself. I believe that everything that we did in Liberia, first, as it results during the war, as women protesting, it had a lot to do with our faith. And my faith, being a Christian, and those Muslim women who got involved with us, their faith as Muslims, one of the realizations that I've come to, even afterwards, is that there's no way that anyone can get involved in any form of nonviolent struggle without reference to a higher power. So Dr. King was obviously successful in his work because he had faith in a higher power. Gandhi, Mandela, all of these people, if you track their lives, the Dalai Lama, Bishop Tutu, all of these people make reference to a power higher than. And that's something that I've really found to be true in my own life, that you can't do this kind of work if there's no reference to a higher power.
Well, there certainly will be people who disagree with you and say you can do it out of secular values of peace and justice, but we'll save that argument for another day. But Jenny Rediker, you use a religious reference right in the title of your documentary about Lima, Pray the Devil Back to Hell. That's a very religious title.
Well, it's because in the film, Lima says that Charles Taylor could pray the devil out of hell because he was such a religious man and he would use religion. And so, in fact, what the women decided to do is to use the same tactics against him and to use his religion and to use the ideas of religion. So I felt, well, they actually took it and prayed the devil back
to
hell.
So the peace builders and the dictators both invoked the higher power.
Of course, but the one difference in the peace builder and the dictator is that the peace builder can only build peace, can speak truth to power, can work peacefully because they haven't taken that toxic anger, invoking that higher power to unleash terror on people. That is the difference between us and the dictators.
Can I ask you about how your movement brought together Christian and Muslim women? You referred to it, but what kinds of tensions or obstacles did you face with that in Liberia, and how did you get past them?
Well, initially, when the war started, it was all about ethnicity. We have 3.4 million people in Liberia. We have 16 different ethnic groups and three different religious practices, Christian, Muslim, and the traditional African practices. People were being aligned from the early 90s based on their ethnic groups. Women were taking sides based on which side was leading the rebellion or which side was occupying more territory. By 2003, it became very clear to us that no single ethnic group would win this war. No single religious group would win the war. So when we started mobilizing women, we thought, let's not use ethnicity, let's not use religion, let's use what we have in common, our womanhood. So we started asking questions like, can the bullet pick and choose? Does the bullet know a Christian woman from a Muslim woman when you go to give birth? Does the Christian woman give birth differently from the Muslim woman? So those were the kinds of things. And it really, really spoke to women everywhere because we were also doing comparison of the pains of the war. Did you lose a child? Yes. How did you feel as a Muslim woman? My pains, my cries were similar to that Christian woman who also lost her child. So by the time we got that message deep, and the women caught on to the message that we are the greatest victims or survivors of the war. We are the one making all of the sacrifices to keep community going. We should be the one building peace. It was time to go.
Brand new Nobel Peace Prize winner Lima Gobi, along with Jenny Rediker, whose new documentary about her, Pray the Devil Back to Hell, will air at 10 tonight on PBS. It will also stream live on their website, and you can get more information on our page at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Lima, you as part of the movement, you instituted a sex strike until peace was reached. How did that work?
Well, I must be honest with you, Brian. When we did the sex strike in the urban areas, it was really out of frustration that there were many good men who were not carrying guns, but they were too silent. And we needed those good men to also step out and start saying something talking to their buddies who were the warlords. In the urban area, we maybe lasted 2 weeks. In the rural areas, the women were more strategic than we were. They called their husbands into the church, the Christian and the Muslim women, and said, as part of our strategy for peace building, we're going to be fasting. And fasting is an act of self-denial, denying yourself the pleasure. So we'll be fasting, and we will not be engaging in food, drink, and sex. And we ask you to accompany us on the journey. The men were also feeling the brunt, so they were like, yes. 2 years later, when we went to the rural areas to end the strike and the protests, those community men had gifts for their wives. They had flowers. They had different things to present. And one of the women leaned over and said, it's all about the sex because it's been 2 years. They were more successful.
Is that a lot of movies have sex, Jenny? Does this one have a sex strike?
This one has a sex strike, exactly. It's not quite as sexy, but it was a great tactic and an old tactic for sure.
When did you actually make the film?
We made this film. We started shooting on Mother's Day in 2007, and we finished it. We actually premiered at the Tribeca Film Festival in 2008 and won the festival.
Did you have any idea that you were shooting a future Nobel Peace Prize winner?
I guess. In a certain way, yeah. I mean, when I met Lima, I was just like, whoa. I mean, for me, it was actually amazing that the world didn't know this story. When I first heard it, I actually couldn't believe it because I thought, well, how could it be that I don't know the story? It's such an amazing story. And I wasn't sure I believed it. And then we met Lima, and I was like, oh, my God, this is an incredible story. What the women did is phenomenal. And I guess I'm humbled by it, but not totally surprised.
Americans who watch this film, is it just, wow, here's something that's gone on in a very foreign country that's very different from us, or a larger message that resonates closer to home?
I think it's a larger message that resonates because I think that on many levels, I think it's surprising to see what ordinary people did. The women in the film are people that I could totally relate to. I think that people can totally relate to. It's a cop. It's a secretary. Lima was a social worker, and they did extraordinary things. And another level, I think, you know, we have shown the film a lot before it's been broadcast, and people feel that they can take inspiration from the women. It's like, oh, my God, if those women could do that in their situation, then I, whether it's being a drug addict or this or that or whatever, can really take that and move myself.
And Lima, a last word from you on inspiration that people here might be able to take from your work. Is it relevant at all? I don't know. Should we see an Occupy Wall Street sex strike for financial reform or anything?
Not really a sex strike on Occupy Wall Street. By the time I heard about Occupy Wall Street, I was like, yes, finally people are getting it that no matter how comfortable you are, your issues, your concerns can only be addressed if you step out and decide to do something. One of my questions with the entire Occupy Wall Street thing is, what are their demands? What are their strategies? Are they focused? Do they know exactly what the end results are? And if they know, then they're on the right track. If not, they need to come together and decide. But like Jeannie said, we've screened this film in different communities, and a lot of the young girls, young boys, and we've screened it in rich private high schools and very local schools. All of the time, these young children come up to me and say, thank you. This is an inspiration for my life, and I'm going to do something to change my community, change my space, and do something good. So it's not just an African story. It's not just a story of conflict. It's a story that when you have issues, when you have challenges, you need to step into the space and take that space for yourself.
Brand newly minted Nobel Peace Prize winner, Lima Bowie, forgive me, it's G-B-O-W-E-E.
Typical African name.
With the silent G at the beginning, the good old silent G. Lima Bowie, thank you very much. Filmmaker Jenny Redica, thank you so much.
Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, Lawrence Weschler, director of the New York Institute for the Humanities at NYU, talks about his adventures in the narrative from a new collection of his essays from The New Yorker.